All right. Good morning to everybody joining us on this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We did not make this day. He made this day, and he thought enough about each and every one of us to allow us to be a part of this day. If there is no other reason to be thankful, no other reason to thank God, we thank him because he allowed us to be a part of this day of something special. And I want to thank everybody on Zoom. I want to thank y'all in the Zoom room that have joined us on this morning. I want to thank all of y'all on Zoom that have joined us. And I want to thank everybody on Facebook Live that have joined us as well. Whenever you listen to this on Facebook, we want to thank you, as well as those on Radio Land. We Talk Radio on We Talk Radio, Shine Radio Station. Thank you all for listening in as well. Feedback I've gotten from that is you all have been tremendously blessed. And we just want to thank God for being in position to be a blessing. We want to thank God for being in position for being a blessing. Now on today is not just any Sunday. This is our first official Sunday as Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. I just want to thank God that we are officially official. We are officially official. And let me tell you something, ain't nobody mad but the devil. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. You know why? Because he thought COVID was going to stop us. He thought COVID and all of the stay at home orders and all these things were going to just really discourage the people of God. But God said, as we had the song playing on this morning here on Zoom before I stepped in, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I want to speak that into your life. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It doesn't stop the weapon from forming, but it will not prosper. The weapon may be formed, but it's not going to end in death. Just like Jesus said to Lazarus, I'm already preaching. I'm already out here right now, but I want to speak that word onto somebody. Weapons will be formed. They're supposed to be formed. That is the job of the enemy, to form those weapons. But Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. His blood washed away everything that the weapon could do to stop us in our tracks. And I just want to speak to you on this morning. Even though the weapons may be formed, they will, sir. They will, ma'am. They will, boy. They will, little girl, not prosper. Amen and amen. Hey, I want to thank all of y'all for joining us on this morning. And I want to thank y'all for being a part of history on today. You are a part of history on today. May 16th, it is May 16th, 2021 is the first official service for Spirit of Inspiring Love. And I just want to talk just a little bit about that because I believe in being transparent. Transparency is the key to full knowledge and understanding when it comes to communicating. And I want to be transparent and I want to just speak from the heart. I want to, first of all, before I do anything, I've had a dynamic team that have been working over the past maybe 8 weeks or so, past 60 days or so, that have been working behind the scenes, meeting your blood, your sweat, your tears, the time, all that you have done to help us. And I just want to, as senior pastor and president of this organization, I want to personally thank each and every one of you. You know who you are. I don't have to call you out by name. You know who you are. I want to thank every last one of you from the sincere bottom of my heart. Without you guys, without the team, remember we had that message a while back, the power of relationships and the power of dream work, because teamwork brings the dream work. Teamwork brings the teamwork. I want to thank God for the teamwork that we have, all the time that you have sacrificed, everything that you've done to make this day happen. So I want to thank you, and I just wanted to publicly thank every last one of you for everything you've done. Every thought, every idea, everything that you've done to help us come to this point, I want to thank you. And so also, I just wanted to also just let you know here just a little bit about the ministry before we get into the word here. I just want to read to you what our vision for this ministry is. So our ministry name is Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Okay. The acronym for that is SOIL. Okay. If you guys remember, if you've been following us on Facebook Live for a while, one of the very first series that we had was called The Parable of the Soils. Okay. And Jesus was teaching. He used that as a teaching opportunity to teach the disciples and those that were following him about the difference between when the word goes forth, it falls on rocky ground, it falls on stony ground, okay? It falls on good ground, right? And he used that to be able to talk about and saying, we have to do what we have to do is what we talked about was we have some soil deficiencies. And sometimes we got to do what we call a soil test to find out when the word is coming forth, how are we receiving that word? Okay, so as the word of God continues to go forth, what I want us to understand is let's make sure that we remove all soil deficiencies that we can so that the word can fall on good ground. And I want to welcome everybody here because you're going to have the opportunity to join this church. You're going to have the opportunity to be a part of this thing that's special. We want to welcome all of you and encourage you to come grow with us in the soil. Come grow with us in the soil, in the spirit of inspiring love. First John tells us, if we don't have love, we don't have anything. What do you think is going on in the world today? Love is not being administered. Love is not being shown. Love is not being, we show love and we talk about love around holidays and Valentine's Day and all this stuff here. But what about the other 360 days throughout the year? Where is the love? Where is love? So we just want to inspire love in all that we do. And we want to just encourage you to grow with us in the soil. So I'm just going to read to you our vision here. And we're going to get into the word. Oh, no. Oh, trust me. We're going to get into the word. But I just want to just read to you our vision for the ministry. So you know what we're doing. And if you want to be a part of this, something special, we've got a dynamic team that's going to welcome you with open arms. And I would love to have you. I love your gifts and your talents and everything that God has for you. Come grow with us in the soil. Let's change this world. Let me read our vision here. So our vision says we are a ministry founded and inspired by the word of God, by the word of God, not anything else, but simply the word of God. We believe that God is love. And our passion is to inspire our community, our nation, and our world with the love of God. Our focus is to help change lives by reaching the lost and serving with the love of God to inspire biblical, spiritual, and personal growth. We want to see you grow as a person. We want to see you grow in the word of God. And we want to see you grow spiritually, that spiritual connection between you and God. You're going to understand by biblical principles and the things that we teach you and equip you how to walk in that spiritual life, that spiritual element of your relationship with God. And we want to see you grow as a person. We want to see you grow financially. We want to see you grow spiritually. We want to see you grow economically. We want to see you grow in every aspect of your life. So I want to encourage you all to join us and to let's grow in the soil together. Let's grow in the soil of love. So without further ado, again, I just want to thank y'all for joining us on this morning and thank you for everything that you're doing to just help support this ministry. You have an opportunity to give. We're on Givelify. Okay. The Givelify app. If you look, it's G-I-L, what is it? G-I-L-V-E-L-Y, something along those lines. Just pull up Givelify. I ain't good at spelling when I don't see it. All right. So y'all bear with me. Forgive me if I misspelled. Oh, he didn't spell that. Well, you know what? Give me some love. Give me some inspire. I want to inspire you to love me anyway. All right. I didn't spell it right. But anyway, listen, just pull up Givelify. We're on that Givelify app here. Just pull up Spirit of Inspiring Love. You'll be able to see it. You'll see the logo right there. If you want to be a blessing to this ministry, if you just want to sow your offerings, your tithes, we're going to talk about that there so we can understand it. But what I wanted to do is on that app, I wanted to give you some scripture to basically identify every segment of giving that is listed on there. It talks about the importance. There's a scripture that backs up the importance of the tithe. Okay, bring all ye tithe into the storehouse. Okay, we need that. We need those resources to go forth and proclaim the gospel, right? Your offerings, okay? We talk about giving and it shall be given unto you, okay? We talk about even if you want to just give me as a senior pastor a love token, all I'm going to do is bless other people with it, okay? If you want to do that and you want to sow into this, trust me, it's going on, it's being sown on good ground. This has been 20 years in the making, ladies and gentlemen. My wife will tell you. And we've put forth the work for 20 years to just get to this moment, but it's been 20 years of growing in the soil, 18 exact years to be exact. And what does 18 represent? 18 is usually when we become adults. We step into adulthood. So we've stepped into adulthood of our ministry that started off as Wednesday Bible night study, Bible studies, Wednesday night Bible studies, right? We would invite different people, different family members. People would be a part of that. And we kept going. We kept going. My daughter, she's on here. She's on Zoom. She'll tell you. There were a lot of nights we she may not have wanted to always be on there. But we kept going. And we're going to talk about that in the message on today, about work and the importance of work. Okay, so we're going to continue to do that. But this is not a fly-by-night situation. This is something that God ordained years ago. And as a matter of fact, okay, I had a coworker back in 2004 we were having a conversation. She was involved in ministry as well. And I remember sharing with her back in 2004 that one day I was going to start an online ministry. This was 17 years ago. Okay, one day we're going to start an online ministry. Did not know it was going to take 2021. But listen here, however long it takes, you sit in the soil as long as it takes, because in your due season, if you don't give up, you will receive that harvest. You're looking at this harvest right now today. So again, I just want to thank everybody for joining us on this morning. Thank you to our staff. Thank you for everybody that's a part of this, everybody that's been supporting, everybody that's been watching. And now you have an opportunity to sow on good ground. Continue to be inspired by the word of God. So I just want to let you know, this is the church. This is the ministry that faith built. This ministry is built on faith. Okay. And I just want you to understand that. And it's just like the Apostle Paul. Okay. When you position yourself out of submission, when you take the position of submission, just like the Apostle Paul, God will in fact finish a great work in you. So I just want to encourage you to continue to do that. Encourage you to just stay grounded, stay in the soil, and in due season, if you just don't give up, if you don't get weary, if you don't get tired, okay, that seed is going to bud at some point. You just got to continue to nurture it, grow it. So just come grow with us in the soil. Now, speaking of faith, okay, we're the church that faith built. Speaking of faith, we've been in this series, The Power of Faith. Okay, the past few weeks, we have been in The Power of Faith. Okay, it's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful series here. And I just appreciate some of you that reach out and share how it's blessed you and how you've really been able to take the granulated version of this scripture here, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How about that word last week? The evidence of the unseen, not being able to see it. Faith doesn't line up with your five senses. It's beyond your five senses. But there is something special that we want to talk about that aligns with that as well. So I just want to just hang tight here, and we're going to talk about that. We've been in the power of faith. And what I want us to understand is, you know, the goal is to make us and help us to understand that this is a tool that God has given us. Faith is a tool that God has given us to help us to walk forth, to connect the spiritual and the natural. And we want to continue to use that tool that God has given us, because we have all been given a measure of faith. All right. So just continue to do that. And I want to inspire you and encourage you to continue to do that. And go back on Facebook. Have some refreshers. Go back on Facebook. Go back to part one. Go back to part two. Go back to part three. Go back to part four, and continue to allow that word to penetrate into your heart, penetrate into your spirit, okay? This is why we teach in series. We want to make sure that you get it. We want to make sure that you're equipped. We want to make sure that the word resonates, okay? And so however long it takes is how long it takes, okay? This is not about the speed. This is all about the quality. This is about the nurturing. As I mentioned, 17, 18 years of this before we got to this point. But I understand in today's time, you know, we think about the microwave aspect of things. We think fly by night. We think because everything is right now. I need it today. I need it today. We have to slow down and allow ourselves to walk by faith and not by sight. Don't get caught up into the swift. Okay. But we have to have a mind of enduring, and we're going to go ahead and dive into that on today. So before we get into the message, I just want to tell you right now, you know, just continue to pray for me. Okay, I welcome the prayers of the righteous, because I am a believer. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Okay, that means that God is on point of welcoming those prayers of those that are righteous, and he will receive those prayers. Remember, he occupies residency in your praise, and he inhabits those praises, and he also looks for those prayers. Okay, he looks for those prayers. God is all about numbers, okay? He loves the numbers. That's why two or three gathered in his name, he's there in the midst, okay? The prayers of the righteous availeth much, okay? He's all about being the salt of the earth. God is all about multiplying. He says, be fruitful and multiply. So the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I welcome your prayers. Our team welcomes your prayers. Continue to pray for us, okay? As we walk into uncharted territories, we've never been here before, but one thing I know, God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And despite of not being able to see things in the natural, we walk by faith. We walk by the unseen, and we know that God is there every step of the way. So without further ado, I want to go ahead on and let's just open up with a word of corporate prayer to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds for this word, okay? So let's go ahead on and let's get ready for a word of prayer. If you'll bow your heads or raise your hand or whatever you do, that's between you and God. However you receive or align with prayer, just do you. Be you. Be original. Be authentic. Just be you because that's what God looks for. That's what God loves. That's what God welcomes, okay? He made you to be who you are. He did not make you to be anybody else. So however you want to praise him, however you want to embellish in prayer with him, do it your way. All right. So let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this awesome day, Lord. We thank you, Father God, because this is a day that you have made, Lord. And more than 2000 years ago, you had a May 16th, 2021 on your mind, Lord, that Spirit of Inspiring Love Church would have its first official message on today, first official service on today. When you went to the cross, you had this moment in mind. When you went to the cross, you had that person that was delivered from that sickness, that disease, or whatever that was, you had it in mind, Lord. And for that, if nothing else, Father God, we say thank you for that, Lord. We go through all kinds of things in our lives, Lord. Things have access to us. We get distracted. We fall off. We get back up. We get off again. We get back on again, Lord. But you are there all the time, and you never leave us, nor do you forsake us. And for that, Father God, we say thank you. When it's not popular to worship you, we worship you anyway. When it's not popular to give you praise, we give you praise anyway, Lord, because we know that we know. We know that we know that we know that you are real, Father God. And we know what you do for us in our lives, despite of anybody that doesn't have a relationship with you, their thoughts and their opinions of the people of God, Lord Jesus, we set that aside and we embrace who you are because we thank you for everything that you're doing through us and for us. And we just want to just place ourselves in a position of submission to allow you to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, fill us up with your word and your presence, Lord. And we thank you for all that you're doing in the mighty, magnificent, beautiful, bountiful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Again, thank all of you that are joining us on Facebook Live. Thank y'all that are joining us on Zoom. And thank y'all on We Talk Radio. So we've been in this series here called The Power of Faith. And I want us to understand something here as we're talking about faith. We've talked about the function of faith in the past few messages here, but I want to talk about something else here that also aligns with the entire process of faith. So what I want to do is I want to go into, there's a book in the New Testament, and we've talked about this guy before. We've talked about him before. His name is James. And this is not James that was a disciple that followed Jesus for a little over 3 years of his ministry. Not that James. This is James, the sibling of Jesus that I want to talk about here this morning. Because believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' siblings did not believe that he was in fact the Son of God. The Bible records that his siblings actually made fun of him. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was way out there. They just thought it was a big fluke. But out of all his siblings from Mary and Joseph, right? Out of all those siblings, his brother James, who was the firstborn between Mary and Joseph, his brother James came to his godly senses when Jesus reappeared to James after he had risen from the dead. And James knew at that moment when his brother reappeared to him, we talked about Thomas and his doubt, but when Jesus showed up, this is why the resurrection is so important because it changed the lives of a lot of people, especially after Jesus reappeared. But when Jesus showed up and James saw that, James instantly became a believer and dedicated his life to the gospel. So what I want us to understand is James is a very significant book of the Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible. James is very unique because this is the guy that was with Jesus, not really understanding and knowing that Jesus was Jesus. This was the guy that grew up with Jesus. They probably played a basketball. They may have shot some hoops together. They did what brothers did and all of those things. And so he saw a more in-depth version of Jesus than the average person. The disciples saw him at age 30. This was the Jesus that was already grown and in the prime of his life, the prime of his ministry. But this is the guy that remembered him as the young kid. The Bible doesn't record a whole lot about Jesus's childhood and being a teenager and so forth and so on. But James was there. So he's very significant in the books of the Bible here because he knew the before and the after. Not a lot of people can say that. He knew the before and the after, and he was placed in a position of submission and began to proclaim the gospel. So if you will, please, let's go into the book of James. We're going to read chapter 2 and hear what James has to say about faith. So our analogy has always been the Bible. Okay, it's like having two hands here. We talk radio, I'm holding up two hands in a prayer position. All right, we have an Old Testament, all right, which is Genesis through the book of Malachi. And then we have a New Testament, which is Matthew through the book of Revelations. James is found in the New Testament, okay? He's between Peter, okay, and Hebrews, all right? So if you've gotten to First Peter, you went too far. If you're still in Hebrews, come back a little bit more. You're going to find James right there, okay? So in chapter 2, I want to read something here that James is telling, okay, the people at that time. He was speaking to a lot of the people from Jerusalem, okay, from Israel that had scattered abroad. They had gotten intimidated because Christians were being persecuted during that time. It wasn't popular to be a Christian. They wanted to erase the legacy of Jesus. So a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees, they put bounties out on people that were caught praising God. But James wanted to send his people because remember, Jesus and that whole bloodline, they came from the Davidic empire, right? They were from descendants of King David, people of Israel. And those people were intimidated because he knew that the world knew that they were God's chosen people, right? We all are. When we adapt our lifestyle and we give our life to God, we become adopted, the Bible says, into the kingdom of God. We become part of his quote unquote sonship, right? So the original people that scattered abroad, and James, the book of James is about him writing to that group of people to encourage them and to teach them how to live a godly life and to not walk in fear, despite of what might happen. So if you'll turn with me into James chapter 2. Okay, turn with me into James chapter 2. Look at verse 26, and I am coming from the New King James version of the Bible. James chapter 2, verse 26. Here's something that James says about faith. It reads, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." I'm going to read that again. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." That word "also" means that he is taking an example and comparing the two examples together. So the body without the spirit is could be looked at as a shell of itself. Okay, let's look at it in two aspects. The physical body without the spirit, without the breath of God breathing through you, you're just a shell, a physical shell. You're not living. Also, you're living in the natural, and without the power of the Holy Spirit, God's breath breathing through you, you're just a shell. In sports, we talk about, let's just say in particular, the quarterback position. I want to make this practical now so we can kind of relate to what James is saying. Oftentimes, a quarterback or a running back or in any sport, but you hear this a lot when a player is going through some struggles, they're not playing up to their full capabilities to what we know they can play. When they're going through a struggling point, we can simply say at times they're just a shell of themselves. You hear a lot of sports announcers and broadcasters and different analyzers of sports will say a particular player is just a shell of theirself. They're not their same. There's no zest. There's no zeal. There's no animated, you know, they're animated. They have this it factor. We know what their abilities are. We've seen them do great things, but they're a shell of themselves. We've said it for years about a Tiger Woods when he struggled in golf, or about a certain quarterback, or a running back comes to mind as Ezekiel Elliott, right? For I know a lot of you ain't Cowboys fans and all that stuff, but when they go through, Michael Jordan had it. I mean, you can name a lot of athletes. When they go through that, we say that they're just simply a shell of themselves. Where's the life? Where's that heart? Where's that passion? That's what we also mean spiritually. And when you don't have God in your life, you're just going through the motions. You're just going and you're just living, and there's nothing that you're living for, because it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much fame you have. You're going to go through the motions and just be a shell of yourself unless you're living with this thing called faith. Faith, as we talked about, is the substance of all substances. Okay, what it does is it aligns that hope, that desire that's on the inside of you. It recruits that hope. And now you have good, godly hope that's now getting ready to come into fruition, right? But something has to align that, because while it's hope, it's in the spiritual sense. It has not come forth into the natural. So that's faith's job, to bring it into the natural, right? It's the hope. It's the unseen. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. That's why we say faith is not relevant to the five senses. You're seeing, you're hearing, you're touching, you're tasting, you're smelling. Faith has nothing to do with that. It's beyond that. It's on another dimension than that. But faith cannot do it alone. Faith, there's another component that has to team up with faith. There's something else that has to align with that faith. And that something is you. We cannot expect faith to do it all by itself. God has given us that tool so that we understand, and we've spent the past few weeks breaking faith down and talking about faith and how it operates. It's the substance of all substances. It commands the presence of hope. And we've talked about everything that it does. It's the unseen. It connects the solid, the tangible, those things that are not really in the natural right now. But what it does is it works with the manifestation of our expectation. And it's the evidence of all evidence that's beyond our natural senses. And it's the unseen supernatural manifestation of our hope. That's on the spiritual side. But what I want us to understand, what James was speaking to us, is that you're a shell of yourself if there is no work. You're a shell of yourself if you're not aligning with what you're expecting faith to do. And I want us to understand something, that we also have a role to play when we're believing God for something. When we're saying that we expect a wonderful thing to happen, when we're saying that we expect faith to work, there is something that we have to also do ourselves. That's right. I want you, listen here, my loved ones. I want you to understand that we've got a role to play in the process of faith. And God wants us to play our role in the process of faith. Now, Ivy Hilliard said something a while back, and I really love what he said. I was listening to one of his interviews, and He was talking to one of his sons, and he said his son was struggling with trying to really understand faith. And he said that, his son was saying that he had some medical issues, and I want to believe by faith that I'm healed. And what I love what his father said, what I love what Ivy Hilliard said to his son was, he said, "Son, listen, I want you to understand how faith operates." He goes, "You take your medicine, because your medicine is going to work on the symptoms. But you let your faith work on the cause." How about that? You let faith work on the cause of those symptoms, and you take your medicine to work on the symptoms. I wasn't going to go here this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and go here. I am ordained and called by God to speak truth. And when people disagree with the truth, and when people disagree with our biblical teachings here, that doesn't faze me one bit. It doesn't faze me one iota. As a matter of fact, it just confirms that God's word is relevant and it's potent. And sometimes when things are potent, it bothers. It bothers. See, as long as an ant bed can stay in this little ant pile, fire ant pile can stay in your yard. It can do what it does. But the moment you disturb that bed, those ants go wild, they go crazy, and then they go all over the place. Sometimes it's good for the people of God to bother the kingdom of the enemy and the ant beds that he allows in life. Sometimes we have to do something to disturb, because that's how you know the word of God is potent and it's sharp, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. And that's when the demons get to going, and that's when the demons get to talking. That's when the cancel culture and all these other things, that stuff does not intimidate me, because people didn't call me, God did. And when you're ordained by God to do something, you cannot be afraid. And I'm speaking of somebody else out here who you know that you're called for ministry, but you allow fear to get in your way. I want to speak to you. You cannot allow fear to handcuff you from doing the work of God. We've had a whole lot of conversation about this vaccine for COVID-19. And the thought and the mind and the idealisms and all these other things that we've heard and that we've talked about of, I'm walking by faith, so I'm not taking the vaccine. If you're filled with faith, then you don't need these other things. And nobody said this about scarlet fever. Nobody said this about the measles. Nobody said this about anything else. We took those vaccines and we're all alive today and doing well. But what I want us to understand is you cannot just have faith alone. There is something that you have to do to put yourself in the best position to be successful. And because of that, I stepped out on faith, the unknown, the unseen, and got the vaccine. My wife is fully vaccinated. I want to encourage the people of God, if nobody else, get the vaccine. You don't have to agree with me, but you cannot just say, I'm walking by faith. You need to take those actions and take those steps to align. Just like when you get a headache, you take an aspirin. You don't know everything that's in that aspirin. You don't know everything that's in that Tylenol, but you take it. You know why? Because you're operating by faith. When you catch a cold, you're taking Theraflu, you're taking Tylenol, you're taking all these things. You don't know everything that's in there and how it can affect you, but you're operating by faith. Treat this the same way. You can write me. You can DM me. You can say what you want to say. I'm just going to pray for you. But I want the people of God. We're not going to walk in confusion. That's the job of the enemy, to confuse the people of God, to make us walk into his trap. No, we're going to do everything. And if God has allowed a vaccine to come into our well-being, come into society, to allow it to be manufactured, we have to take the lead on not being afraid, to walk by faith and not by sight. So my message to you, take the vaccine. Take the vaccine. Allow the fullness of your faith to be manifested. That is not a campaign. That is not anything related to. I'm just telling you, this is how, if we don't understand the fullness of the word of God, we can get things twisted up, which is what the enemy wants. And we don't really understand that we have something to do also with faith. We have to take steps to allow our faith to line up with the supernatural. We have to do something in the natural to allow faith to be able to work. We have to take those steps, allow faith to be able to work. You want some biblical examples? I'm going to give those to you, because I want us to understand we have something to do. This is not a message about the vaccine. This is a message about faith work. And I want us to understand we have something to do ourselves. Now, we have to have some skin in the game when it comes to faith. Okay, we have to be invested in our blessing. Okay, we have to make an action-based down payment on our hope. And I want us to understand that we have to do our part in the process of faith. Moses could not have used faith in God to help part the Red Sea if he would have just stayed comfortable and stayed in Egypt. There was no way he was going to free, okay, God's chosen people, lead them out of Egypt if he would have just stayed in Egypt and stayed comfortable. But he was able to witness the miraculous and see the parting of the Red Sea because he stepped out on faith. And as he was walking by faith, as he was walking into the promised land, he encountered the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is coming upon him. And then faith went to work. He had done his part by walking by faith. He walked to the Red Sea, and then the miraculous happened because he took action. Peter could not have experienced the miraculous walking on the Galilean Sea had he not stepped out of the boat and been in position to meet Jesus on the other side, as Jesus expected them to do. He gave an assignment to the disciples after he had fed the 5,000 plus, and he said, I'm going to meet you on the other side. They were obedient. They were placed in position of submission. They were sailing toward the other side where Jesus was going to meet them. And then they didn't know how they were going to meet Jesus, but they saw this image walking towards them. They saw this image. They didn't know. They thought it was a ghost. They were terrified. They were afraid. But Peter went against the grain. Peter went against the status quo. Peter went against what everybody else that stayed comfortable decided to do. And he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out. Ask me to come out and join you. He walked by faith. And he, as long as he kept his eyes on the author of his faith, who is Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he was able to experience the miraculous. But Peter could not have done this had he not taken action. If he would have stayed comfortable in the boat, he would never have experienced the wonderful power of faith. There was this woman who had this long 12-year issue of blood, who had to stay in this confined space because during this time, part of the Levitical law stated that women had to stay confined in a particular place when they were experiencing their issue of blood. She stayed in this place where most women stayed in a short amount of time. She had to stay in this confined place for 12 years. And we don't talk as this story, as we've all heard this story and we know about this story, this situation that happened. What we don't talk about enough is somebody did a wonderful job of ministering to her about the power of Jesus. Somebody did a wonderful thing of ministering to her about Jesus because she was confined. So somebody somehow, somebody somewhere had to let her know about who this Jesus was. And we don't talk about how she received that word, but she was solely convinced. She was solely believed. She was solely full of the understanding of the power of faith, to where she realized that if all she could do is just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. If nothing else, I may not can hug him. I may not can high five him. I may not can talk to him. I may not can shake his hand. But if all I can do is be in his presence and just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I know without a doubt, I know that I know that I know deep down on the inside, I know that I can be healed. However, she had to sneak out of the place. She had to bob and weave and cut through the crowds of people who were following Jesus. There were massive people around him, but she found her way to her faith. How about that? She found a way to her faith. She didn't let the opposition stop her. She did not let the number of people intimidate her. She had her mind focused. She had her mind on the prize. She said, I got to get in his presence. I know and I believe that if I can just reach out, if I can't do anything else but just touch the hem of his garment, that garment of grace, that garment of belief, that garment that Jesus was going to just unrobe and just, when the disciples had to have their feet washed, that same garment, if she could just touch the garment of grace, she could be healed and her issue could be dried up. But it would not have happened had she not stepped out of the secluded area and found herself in position to receive her healing. The actions, ladies and gentlemen, that I want us to understand, the actions that we take activate our faith. I'm going to say that again. The actions that we take activate our faith. We move, faith moves just like that. We move, faith moves just like that. We have to step out and we have to take those actions, and then faith is going to do what it's going to do. But now we have to do what we have to do as well. God loves to see us believe so much in him that when we take actions to confirm our faith, he smiles
on us taking those actions. The word tells us that it's impossible for us to please God without faith. Pleasing God happens when we have faith and apply it with action. Beloved, our walk with faith is a lifelong journey. We're always going to have to be walking by faith. There's always going to be something to give faith, something to do, but we also have to make sure we do our part as well. Faith cannot do it alone. Faith has to team up with us, and we have to take those actions and take those steps to allow the full manifestation of faith to come into fruition. But I want us to also understand there's going to be some challenges as we walk by faith. Living a life of Christ is not a cookie cutter, happy, smelling roses all the time situation. He tells us that, you know, trials come. And in this world, we will have trials and we will have tribulations, but be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. However, there is an enemy out there. Okay? The enemy also knows that you have faith. The enemy also knows how faith operates and how faith works. And the enemy comes yet to kill, steal, and destroy. But most of all, he's not trying to destroy your car. He's not trying to destroy your house. He's not trying to destroy your job. He's not trying to take all of your money. You know what he wants more than anything else? He wants your faith. Because he knows without your faith, you cannot please God. He knows without your faith, you're not going to be able to see the miraculous things in your life. He knows without faith, you cannot live and tap into that full manifestation of your Jeremiah 29:11 of your life, because he wants to rob you of your hopes. He wants to rob you of your dreams. He wants to see you be that shell and to just be a shell of yourself, ignoring all of the dreams and all of the great things that you can have in your life. He wants you to be that shell and not be able to experience that book that you could write, that great organization that you can build, that business that you can start, those finances that you can receive. He wants you to be a shell of yourself and go to your grave, leaving all the goodness that God has for you. So therefore, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to rob you of your faith. But what I want us to understand, we are more than conquerors. What I want us to understand is that we are yet overcomers, but it doesn't stop the enemy from attacking. He already knows that Jesus's blood defeated him, but misery loves company. Y'all have heard me say this before. Misery loves company, and he wants to drag you down out of your faith and into being just a shell. He doesn't want to see you glorify God. He wants you to be depressed and to be down and to worry and just have a spirit of worry, worried about your kids, worried about other family members, worried about your job. He wants you to be so bogged down into worry that you forget about this thing called faith. This is why worry is such a dangerous thing. And I'm speaking to somebody, I wasn't on worry this morning, but somebody needs to understand, you need to learn to cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. The enemy has painted some pictures for you in your life, and he's got you believing his lies. He's got you watching the same program over and over. You got to understand that you've got control of the remote control. You've got control of the remote control, and you can change the channel from your worry. You can change the channel from your doubt. You can change the channel of everything that's keeping you confined, and you can break out of that confined place, even though you've got a 12-year issue of blood, and know that if you can touch the hem of his garment, that you can be healed, you can be free. The devil is a lie, and every last demon that he has is a lie, and every last worker of him is a lie, because you are an overcomer. But it does not stop the enemy from attacking. In life, we're going to encounter some bumps and some jagged rocks along our journey. Those bumpy roads and jagged rocks, they can hurt. They can shake us up. They can bruise us. They can leave some scars. But those bumpy roads and jagged rocks, even though they come to shake us up and to scar us, they can leave us bruised, and we don't want to see the bruises. We don't want to see the passion marks. We don't want to see those things that are left because we want to keep ourselves pure and free from cuts, bumps, and bruises. But I want us to understand that they leave us bruised, they leave us scarred, and that's what makes us want to stop putting forth the work and to stop activating faith. But I want us to know as believers, as I get ready to close, I want us to understand that we are believers of the Most High God. And we have to see those bumps and those rocks and those jagged rocks in our lives. We have to see them not as the damage that they will leave, the damage and the scars that they will cause, but as stepping stones to another level of our faith. Yes, the enemy may intend for them to cause us harm. The enemy may intend for them to intimidate us and to shake us. The enemy may intend to allow us to listen to the message of the world, to listen to what the world is saying, for us to be distracted from where we're going. But I want us to understand that those rocks, those bumps, those bruises, those uncomfortable times in our lives, the boisterous winds of our life, they yet come for our greater good. I want you to not be discouraged by those jagged rocks and those bumps that you're treading on today. I want you to put them beneath your feet. Put them down there with the devil, because the devil belongs beneath your feet. His tricks belong beneath your feet. His attacks belong beneath your feet. And use those jagged rocks to help propel you and to tread you into where your faith is waiting to meet up with you. How about that? Faith is already there waiting on you, and you've got some jagged rocks that you've got to overcome. You've got some bumps and some bruises that don't seem very comfortable, but I want to encourage you to put your foot on the gas pedal. Don't let the rocks shake you up. Step on the gas even harder. Don't let the rocks intimidate you. Step on the gas even faster. Don't let the rocks make you intimidated. Don't be worried about the mechanics of your car of faith. Don't be worried about how the axles may pop and break. Don't be worried about how the tailpipe might get damaged. You got to continue to tread and continue to move yourself forward, your faith. Faith is sitting back there saying, I'm waiting on you to come. I've already worked this thing out in the natural. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to give in. We're going to bring forth those hopes. We're going to bring forth those dreams, and I need you to come meet with me so we can allow this thing to work. But I want you to understand that you cannot give up on your faith. You got to work that faith muscle. I understand that working out can be sore. I understand that working out can make you tired. I understand that working out can intimidate you. You get uncomfortable, but you got to understand something. When your faith without works is just not anything that's happening towards taking you towards where you need to be, it's going to become relaxed muscle. And you know what relaxed muscle turns into. We don't want that to happen. You got to exercise that faith, and you got to keep going. You got to exercise that faith, and you cannot give up. You got to exercise that faith and not be afraid to put forth the work, because faith is waiting on you to partner with what you believe in God for. So regardless to how rough and how tough it may seem, you got to understand you cannot plow a field just in your mind. You have to take the tools and the instruments that God has given you to do some churning on that field. Other than that, you're just going to have weeds. Other than that, you're just going to have those things. Other than that, if you don't put forth the work, you're not going to see the fullness of your crop. So I want you to understand, you got to get past the soreness and see it as an elevation. You got to get past the uncomfortable times and see it as going to another level in faith. You got to get past what seems like it may be intimidating and know that you're being elevated like never before in your life. You got to get past what may seem like it says, hey, you're not welcome here. This door closed on you. That situation gave up on you. These people don't believe on you. You got to look at all of those as jagged rocks and know that they're stepping stones. They're not there to throw stones. They're there for you to step on. They're not there to tear you down. They're there to propel you, and you need those jagged rocks to help propel you in your life. So regardless to how rough, regardless to how tough, regardless to how big, regardless to how deep, step on those jagged rocks and keep pressing towards your mind. Step on those jagged rocks and keep your eyes on the prize. Step on those jagged rocks and keep working that faith muscle. Step on those jagged rocks and keep pleasing the eyes of God so that God can see that you're trying. God can see that you're working. God can see that you're not giving up. God can see that you're not giving in. And after you have done all that you can do, after you have done everything that you can do, after you have gone as far as you can go, after you have gone as far as you can go yourself, after you have gone as far as your natural self can take yourself, God says for you to stand. God wants you to stand just like that tree planted by the rivers of water, and you shall not be moved in your faith. I don't care what the world says. You stay planted in your faith. You stay anchored in your faith. You stay planted and rooted in your faith. And the enemy knows that if you stay anchored in your faith, there is nothing that the enemy can do. God says to touch not his anointing. And despite everything that the enemy throws your way, just understand that those rocks are going to propel you. For every stone that is thrown at you, take it as a rock to propel you to the next level. For every attack that comes your way, look at it as fuel to propel you towards the end. Look at it as a way of being elevated. Don't look at it as something that's hurting you. Look at it. Turn that energy. And put, we're always talking about energy today. That energy, that good energy, those good vibes. Well, you know what? Put those good vibes to work. Let those good vibes take you to the next level. Let those good vibes turn into something positive. Let those good vibes propel you into that next level. Because you know what those good vibes are? Do you know what all that energy we're talking about? That is the Holy Spirit, and that operates by faith. So as I close on this morning, I want you to understand that you're going to step on your hurts. You're going to step on your pains. You're going to step on your fear. And you're going to step on your shame. But you stay planted and rooted in your faith. And you stay strong, and don't you give up. Don't be afraid of the work that it takes to help bring forth what God has for you in your life. Because if you don't bring it, nobody else can bring it for you. If you don't bring it, it's not going to come to pass. If you don't bring it forth, it is not going to happen. So I want you to just be encouraged. Don't be afraid to put forth the work. Don't be afraid of faith work. Don't be afraid to go out there and bring it forth in your life. To go out there and do what it takes to make it happen. Because after you have done all that you can do, you stand and see God do the rest. Amen, somebody? Amen. What a wonderful word on today, somebody. What a wonderful word on today, somebody. I want you to just be encouraged to stand strong in your faith. And don't be afraid to work your faith. Work those muscles. And the more you work those muscles, that soreness goes away. So don't allow everything that makes you uncomfortable to stop you and to slow you down. Because when you work your faith, faith goes to work. All right. Now, I want you now to just join me on today. And let's please God as we work our faith and just continue to put the enemy to shame. The enemy thought COVID was going to stop the word of God, but let me tell you something. The enemy, nothing in the world shall stop you from doing what God needs for you to do. God says that he is the Alpha and he's the Omega. And nothing is going to stop him unless he says that it stops. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. Don't be intimidated by the world's message. You keep your eyes on the prize and you be encouraged to stay strong in your faith. All right. But right now, I want to take this time. We're going to get into our giving section here in just a minute, but I want to take this time to welcome somebody into the kingdom of God. We have a dynamic ministry here. We are growing something special here. We are doing something amazing here. And I want to welcome you right now to come join. First of all, come join Jesus. Come join me in joining Jesus. Before we talk about any joining any church or anything else, come join Jesus. Okay, if you join him, it doesn't matter where you are, where you go. But right now, today, you have this opportunity to come join him. He is waiting on you. He died for you. He loves you. And right now on today, somebody needs to know jagged rocks are not the end. Jagged rocks cannot tear you down. The stepping stones await you, and you're going to step into the kingdom of God. So I want to welcome you on this morning here to join me. And all you got to do is just repeat after me. It's very simple. Okay. You don't have to go run, turn, flips, do all these other things and all that. No, Lord said that his yoke is easy. And we have overcomplicated things sometimes in the church world. We have overcomplicated these processes when the Bible said simply, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he rose on the third day and that he's your Lord and your Savior, and you confess your belief, you will be saved. It's that simple. So right now, wherever you are, just say, Lord, I believe that you died and you rose on the third day with all the power and all the glory. And I accept you in my life. And by faith, I believe that I am saved. Amen. Wasn't complicated. It was very easy. I'm clapping for you right now because I'm welcoming you into the kingdom of God. And if you need a church home, we would love to have you. Go to somebody's church. Make sure you're getting good biblical sound teaching of the word of God from the Holy Bible. Okay? From the Holy Bible. But if you need a church home and want to join us, I want you to email me. Okay, email me info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Info, put that in the chat, somebody. Info, put that in the chat on Zoom. info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Send us an email, and we're going to send you back a form for you to fill out and all that good stuff. And we're going through our new membership process right now. You can join us. This is a dynamic ministry. And also, if you want to sow into this ministry, we're on Givelify. Okay. Givelify. Look up Givelify in the App Store. Some of you folks are Android. I don't know how to tell you about Android. I'm not an Android person, but on Apple, just pull up Givelify, pull up wherever that you purchase apps. And you can look for us as Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. You'll see our logo there. Give to us here if you want to sow into this ministry. And if you want to become a member, I want you to become a member first before you start giving tithes and offerings, because I want you to understand, okay, the dedication from that. And we're going to give a full teaching on that as well as part of our new membership process, okay? But if you just want to give us an offering or something like that, we'll welcome that. We're going to do great things for the community. We're going to do great things for the people of God here. And trust me, You're going to see some wonderful things here. All right. So we welcome you to come grow in the soil with us here. Come grow in the soil. We welcome your gifts. We welcome your talents. Obviously, we're going to eventually get a building. We're going to need praise team. We're going to need musicians and so many other things, so many different gifts and talents that all of y'all have, because God said everything we need is in the house. Okay. Remember, Elijah told the woman that everything that she needed. Okay. All she needed to do was make that yeast, right? Everything that she needed was already in the house, and she was going to feed the man of God. Remember that story in the Old Testament? We'll talk about that one day. But everything we need is in the house of God. What do we mean by that? God has given us all gifts and talents, and we need to use our gifts and talents to help propel the kingdom of God. Okay. So just grow with us in the soil. Send us an email, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. And we love to help you to come grow with us in the soil. All right. So I appreciate that. We love you folks here. Let's go ahead on and let's conclude. I'm going to give you back your Sunday. I want to thank y'all for joining us on our first official service. We love you. First lady here, my lovely, beautiful wife here, we'll welcome you with open arms. We look forward to having you to join us here. And we thank you for just allowing us to allow God to speak into your heart, into your spirit. And we just want, we want everything for you. Not that we want something from you. We want everything for you. And we know what it takes to allow God to do a mighty work in your life. So I want to thank all of you. Let's conclude. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful word. Thank you for this moment in time. Thank you for using us for all that you're doing, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that somebody's life changed on today. Somebody, Lord Jesus, understand that not to get discouraged and to stay strong in their faith, and not to be afraid to put faith to work and to work along with faith. Faith without works is dead. It's time for us to come out of being a shell, and it's time for us to receive the full bountiful blessings that you have for all of us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing, and we thank you for your son, for dying on a cross for every last one of us. We pray for a wonderful, prosperous and productive week on this week. Lord, I speak prophetically. We're going to receive some testimonies. Somebody is going to receive something great this week, Lord. And we thank you for all that you're doing in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you. Amen. All right. We'll be back. Zoom, you folks, hold on. Let's fellowship here. We thank all of you for joining us on Facebook Live. Thank y'all for joining us on We Talk Radio. We'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there. Have a fantastic day, folks, and we'll see you next week.